Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Escape Collective podcast series here at the Spring Classics. My name is Matt Deneef. Joining me today, Lauren Rowney. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, on the ground.
Yeah.
First time.
Set the scene for us. Where are we? What are we seeing?
We are currently in the center of the iconic Roubaix Velodrome watching the race unfold. We are at 3.5 kilometers to go with actually what I would say to be all the race favorites in the front.
Yeah, we've got a lot of Capecchi. We've got Elisa Balsamo, Ellen van Dijk, so two from Little Trek there, Amber Crack from FDJ. We've got Mariana Vos and Pfeiffer Georgie from DSM. Very strong group, six riders. How's it going to play out from here, do you think?
Well, I mean, this is the question I'm asking myself, is that there's a lot of wind right now. Trek, again, have the numbers. What we saw was Ellen van Dijk did wait for Balsamo to come back because there was a moment there. Wasn't quite sure if Balsamo had a bit of a mechanical or just the legs fell off a little bit in one of the sectors. She's come back and rejoined. So we have, you know, a few riders here that could potentially win a sprint finish. So the question is, if you are an Amber Crack right now or a Pfeiffer Georgie, what would you be doing?
Yeah, I think I'd be looking for a late move if possible in these final kilometres. Try your legs because I don't think you're going to beat Vos in a sprint. I don't think you're going to beat Capecchi in a sprint. We were talking just before we hit record that even if you're Capecchi, you might be a bit nervous here in the sprint.
I think so. I mean, she's now sitting on the back of the group. She's tagged onto the back of Balsamo. I think Capecchi is backing herself. We were talking about the fact that the Roubaix sprint is maybe not the same sprint as the usual sprint because, you know, the race has just been so heavy. But, you know, Vos's form this season, every race she's targeted, she's, you know, what would you say, hit the nail on the head?
That's right, yeah. She won another two races this year that she hadn't won before. This is a race she hasn't won before, one of the very few big races on the calendar she hasn't won. So I know this would mean a hell of a lot to her. Do you want to talk a bit more about what we're seeing, what's around us?
I mean, the velodrome is packed. We're lucky enough to be inside the center, but I'm just looking around the edges here. It looks like, you know, all the people from Roubaix are out, all the fans are out, the people who've done the sportive have hung around, had a great day out on the bike. Everyone's just really excited to be here for the fourth edition. And I mean, every year it's been a different race finish. And I think I'm actually the most excited about this one because I really don't know how it's going to play out.
Looking at the flags up there on the final bend, what are you seeing?
I mean, from where we are right now, the last bend before the finish, it's actually crosswind, so it means a tailie into the finish. That means that basically once you hit that finishing straight and you're at full speed, there's no coming around.
So hit that final corner in front, hopefully.
All right, so the riders are just going over the cobbled section now. They're about to enter the velodrome. People are starting to bang on the banners. We're going to get, here we are, going to get sight on the riders any moment now.
Yeah, turning the final corners now into the velodrome. You can probably hear in the backgrounds, cheering starts, here they come.
And here we go, Ellen van Dijk is leading into the velodrome. We have two laps to go.
Pfeiffer Georgie in second place, Mariana Vos in third, Capecchi fourth wheel, Balsamo fifth.
And then Amber Crack is coming around the outside. I think Balsamo is going to need to move up into a slightly better position here.
The crowd here is fantastic. A lot of people getting behind the riders here. The second group comes into the velodrome. They're out of it now. They're about 25, 30 seconds behind.
All right, Ellen van Dijk is still on the front here. Pfeiffer Georgie in good position in second place. Vos in third, and here we see the sprint. Lotta is already... No, it's Vos, and Balsamo is coming around the outside, but I think it's Vos, and here comes Capecchi trying to come around the outside. Will be the world champion. Lotta Capecchi, the world champion, takes it. Oh my god,
what an amazing finish.
She does it.
Wow, what a fantastic win there. She really timed that sprint so well. We had Vos on the inside, Balsamo on the outside. Capecchi came right around the outside and timed that so well to win in the white and the rainbow bands of the world champion. Lotta Capecchi, the winner. I don't know about you, Lauren, but I've got goosebumps. Have you seen
that? I've got goosebumps. I've got my world championship little tiny jersey for my son ready to get signed by the world champion. I think we need to try and get a hold of Lotta Kopecky now.
I think so too. So the last bunch more riders are coming through here.
She can't quite believe it. After the Flanders we saw last weekend, I'm sure she would have been so disappointed. Her favorite home race. She's finally won Roubaix. I mean, Lotta Kopecky, amazing.
What a champion. Yeah, as you said, after the frustration of last week and the fact that SD Works hadn't won this race before in three editions when you would have expected them to, they've now won this edition. Kopecky was so, so good throughout the race today as well. On the front a lot, so aggressive, attacking a bunch of times, thinning down the group. A well-deserved win.
I think, Matt, we're going to have to go back and rewatch that finale, definitely before the podcast next week. That was incredible. It looked like she was really calm and collected, and I definitely ate my words when I said SD Works wouldn't win this race.
We're just watching a replay now on the big screen of Kopecky coming from fourth wheel right up the outside, around Voss, around Balsamo, around Georgie, right up on the bank there, and she times it so, so well. It looked like Voss maybe had it there, but Kopecky has timed that absolute perfection.
Just. And then by the end there, she almost a whole bike length. Yeah. That is years of track experience right there.
That's right. So little Trek end up with, it looks like second on the day and fifth with Van Dijk back at the end of the back of the group there. A frustrating day for them, would you think?
I mean, they've had an incredible spring. They did everything they needed to do today. I mean, Ellen Van Dijk, you know, waited for Lisa Balsamo. She came back. She led her out into the velodrome. There wasn't much more they could do. I mean, I might need to go back and rewatch it to sort of analyze the sprint, but I think, you know, they did everything they could, and there's going to be a lot of disappointment. This is Roubaix.
We can see Elisa Balsamo on screen now, looking like she's in tears there. She's had a tough day, as Lauren, as you said, dropped off the back there at a crucial moment and managed to get back to the front, but just missing out. That would have meant a lot to her. But as you say, such a fantastic spring for Little Trek so far. And I think they can be particularly happy with the ride of Ellen Van Dijk. She's had some good results already in her comeback, but, 6 months after having a baby, and she's... And
incredible.
She was phenomenal today.
Look, and I mean, I think I said in the podcast last week that I didn't think Van Dijk would show up. We were all a bit surprised because of her Olympic ambitions. And we know a few riders decided to sit this race out just because Roubaix is Roubaix. And, you know, things can happen here and disrupt the rest of your season. So incredible ride from Van Dijk. Another fantastic ride by Trek. But today it was SD Works Pro Time that were the winners.
Just seen Iris Slappendel walk past. She's just spent the day on the back of the moto for Eurosport. We'll see if we can get a word with her in a minute. Looks like she's on a bit of a mission there. We'll see if we can rope her in. Another good day for FDJ. You were saying before, Lauren, they were very, very active and ended up with Amber Crack in the front group there.
Yeah, they've been very active all spring. I mean, they haven't quite gotten the results I think they've been hoping for, but definitely putting themselves in the race. It's been a fantastic spring campaign in general, I think, just for women's cycling. But really good ride there by Amber Crack. I mean, like we said, coming into the velodrome, chances of her pulling off a podium against those riders was going to be really difficult. So, I mean, they were there in the race, and maybe the only opportunity that they could have had was to probably try something the last few kilometres.
Yeah. Might take a moment here just to catch our breath and gather our thoughts and see what happens over the next few minutes, and we'll be back in a moment. Yep. Okay, so it's probably 10-15 minutes after the finish, maybe 10 minutes after the finish. We've still got riders coming through to great cheers from the crowd, which is lovely to see. What can we see over here where the riders have all pulled up at the finish?
You know, the really special thing about Roubaix is this is the one opportunity where the domestiques, the riders who've done all the hard work all day, are actually getting a cheer from the crowd. People can see them. You know, it's not like the race is done and everyone's left and they're not getting that pat on the back. All the riders are collecting. around each other. People are lying on the floor. There are bikes everywhere. And this is the moment where people are starting to share like their war story of the day and what happened out there. And, you know, just going through all the emotions of whether they had a good day or a bad day as an individual and a team. Of course, you know, the winners today are definitely ST Works Pro Time. And I'd be curious to hear the discussions later on different team buses.
I think in any bike race, you have hundreds of stories. You know, every single rider in the race has their own story of how the day unfolded, all the key moments, the good and the bad. And I think no race typifies that more than Paris-Roubaix. You know, this is such a special race, you know, such a difficult race. And you know, you're talking about everyone sharing their war stories. I imagine there's a lot to talk about, not only right now after the finish, but also later in the team bus and, you know, team debrief later on as well.
Yeah, and you can just see the expression on each rider's face. You know, there's a lot of smiles of actually being able to finish this race, because in past editions, we've seen huge DNFs from bad weather and just, you know, just the race itself. It is so hard, but lots of emotion right now. It's great to see actually so many of the riders finish. Like last year I was here and it felt like, you know, that not that many made it to the finish line. So I think that's really cool. We've still got more riders coming in. You can see, I think that is
Sanguinetti maybe on
yeah,
the second
Sanguinetti
wheel.
From Little Trek, who would have been, you know, key part in Balsamo's second place today.
I think if there's one race on the calendar, one-day race on the calendar that riders would be just happy to finish, it's probably this one, right? You can see looking around, there's riders who... It would be a massive buzz coming into this velodrome, hearing the crowd cheer and just being able to get through inside the team.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there, Matt. And I reckon Flanders is definitely one of those races as well, and the World Championships. If I can think of three one-day races, definitely just getting to the finish line is an achievement in itself.
So right where the riders come into the velodrome, there's a media area set up where the riders are all kind of flopped down on the ground, as Lauren said. There's team staff there. There's dozens of media, maybe hundreds of media personnel milling around, getting quotes, getting photos, getting video. Photographers everywhere snapping those immediate post-race shots. It's quite a remarkable atmosphere here. You know, having seen this on TV a bunch of times, being here is quite special.
Entirely different. I mean, last year I didn't have the privilege of being in the center of the velodrome, and I remember watching just from the stands and thinking I want to be in there in the mix, and I'd love to be there talking to the riders and just trying to experience a little bit of what they're experiencing, because for me as an ex-bike rider, none of this actually existed. I mean, I had someone ask me at the Zwift setup today, like, did you get to do this race? And I was like, no, this wasn't around. But I'm so stoked for the women here today who get to race Paris-Roubaix. And yeah, a big thank you to Zwift actually, who were the instigators in pushing this.
Absolutely. I'm just watching over near the mix zone area where an SD Works rider has finished. I'm not sure who that is, maybe Rachele Barbieri possibly, but she's just there. She's jumped into the arms of her team staff. Lots of hugs going around, smiles. It's, yeah, there's some dancing going on over there now in the SD Works camp. You know, we're so used to seeing them win bike races, particularly last season, but, you know, also in the classics here now. And you forget how much it means to them, but this is a big one for the team. And as we said before, it's one they hadn't won yet, and they have now.
You know, and I think after, like you said, Matt, like after the spring that they've had, it's not the SD Works Pro Time of last year. They've had a ton of bad luck, but things don't seem to be gelling. And to come off and win Paris-Roubaix today has been, I don't know, I'm really stoked about it, and also stoked to see the world champion win this race.
Yeah, I think it... For me personally, if Capecchi had won Flanders last week, this would have been impressive, but it wouldn't have been quite the same. I think the fact that they struggled last week and she didn't get the win makes this all the more special. As a viewer, you don't want to... We talked about this a lot last year. You don't want to see the same team win over and over again. So to see them win today, I think, yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of us actually picked Capecchi for the win today. I mean, I'm sure someone did, but it was like... I just thought maybe that the form had fallen off, but she is just such an incredible athlete. And I think we said it before, after the disappointment of last week, to pick yourself back up and then 6 days later go and take what we will call a monument in women's cycling is an amazing turnaround and says something about her character.
We've still got riders coming in. I'm not quite sure when the time limit is, but hope that most riders, hope a lot of riders finish within the time cut. Yeah, lots of cheers still for riders coming into the Velodrome, and we're seeing, I guess preparations are underway now for podium presentation. We're seeing the top three finishers and their teams head over to the kind of backstage area behind the podium there, getting ready to be presented on stage and receive their cobblestones. All right, so we've just moved a little bit. We're on the other side of the Velodrome now. We're just about to watch the podium presentations. What can we see, Lauren?
I mean, this is the thing about Roubaix, right? We've got riders that are still coming into the Velodrome, getting big cheers and claps from the crowd. And I mean, we're just about to see the podium of Lotte Kopecky, Elisa Balsamo, and Pfeiffer Georgie.
Interesting.
Marianne Vos just missing the podium, which wow. Actually, in our excitement, we didn't even realize.
Yeah, that's surprising. Big smiles from all three, though. Pfeiffer Georgie's got a huge smile on her face there in third place. Really gritty race from her after getting dropped.
And we've this is actually a really cool thing. We've got the whole DSM team sitting in front of the stage, the whole of the SDUX Pro team standing there as well, cheering on their teammates. It's just so awesome to see Pfeiffer Georgie on that podium.
She's being presented now with a little cobblestone. She's holding out in front of her, big beaming smile on her face, handshake with somebody there, and a big bouquet of flowers.
Big cheer from the crowd for Pfeiffer Georgie. After a great sprint, awesome to see her get that podium.
There's behind, away from the podium, there's still more rides coming in, another 20 or 30 rides coming in.
Very big cheer for Elisa Balsamo, former world champion. Just misses out on the win today, but I mean, a well-deserved second place for the little Trek rider.
Big smiles from her as well as she reaches over and gives Pfeiffer Georgie a handshake on the podium. She too gets a small cobble to hold out in front of her. Now there's only one rider left.
And I'm expecting a massive, massive cheer for the world champion. Lotte Kopecky, world champion, winner of Paris-Roubaix Femme Avec Zwift 2024.
And in front of the stage, there are four jets of fire, I guess you'd say.
We can actually feel the heat from where we're standing.
We're probably 10 metres away and we can feel the heat off the fire there. Big double fist pump from Kopecky up on stage there. She was announced. And now, of course, the biggest cobblestone for her, which she now raises above
quite
her
easily.
Head.
I mean, yeah. Kopecky has not been missing arm day, that's for sure. And there we have it. The winner of the fourth edition, waiting for the Belgian anthem. My husband and father-in-law will be singing along to this. I think they're pretty stoked about who won today.
Yeah, it's pretty rammed here at the podium presentation area. Lots of photographers, lots of press coming through. We're kind of sandwiched in a walkway here and getting shoved as everybody comes past.
It just feels like there's a lot of excitement here right now. I think, you know, the vibe of this race, it's something special. And I'm just looking around the Velodrome. All the Belgians standing up proudly, singing along to their anthem, even though we're in Roubaix, which is France. And I keep having to tell myself we're not in Belgium and this is not one of the Belgian Spring Classics. And the lovely Kate Verino from Zwift, who has been, you know, actually the force behind this race and the Tour de France Avec Zwift that will come later in the summer. She's just got a big smile on her face. She's so proud of what actually women's cycling has achieved in the past 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, and with a lot of help from Zwift as well. What the effort they've put in, the money they've put in to elevate women's racing has been incredible. And who knows where we'd be without it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if we also look, I don't want to go too much down the Zwift rabbit hole, but with Canyon SRAM and the Canyon SRAM generation, it's been pretty incredible what that company has done for women's sport, I must say. I think the initial disappointment from Elisa Balsamo definitely, would you say, has faded a bit? Once you're standing on that podium and you realize you're in Roubaix and you podiumed, and I mean, you know, I think she's still really early into her career, so there is that opportunity. But on the flip side of the coin, it could be an opportunity. What am I trying to say? You might never stand on the podium again. It's like bittersweet in a sense. Like you're on the Roubaix podium, but at the,
Yeah, a lot of emotions for sure. And I think that, yeah, there'll be a lot for her to digest over the next 24 hours, next few weeks. It's been a wonderful spring for her. I mean, we talked about her team, but her personally, she's won two of the one-day World Tour races already on the podium here. I think she'll be very pleased with how her spring has gone. I think we'll see her back on the podium here at some point. I think she's got it in her to win it at some point.
Matt, I think the loser today was Voss, which I'm really, really sad and disappointed about. But, you know, she went straight from the velodrome. And there we go. We've got the lot of fans are here cheering her on. I'm actually really sad about that.
Yeah. We'll just interrupt the Voss chat really quickly to talk with a photographer extraordinaire, Christophe Ramon. How was your day today?
Actually, I hate to admit it, but it was like easy going today.
What does easy at Roubaix mean? What were you expecting to happen today?
Well, the thing is with Roubaix, it's like once you get on the cobbles, you're like super focused. So it's like it goes by like unimaginably fast. So you're on the bike and you go like zhush, 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 and it's like over in a few minutes almost. And so it goes really fast. And with the women's race, it's like, well, as soon as they start the cobbles, it's like it's all straight to the finish almost.
Did you hit, how many sectors did you hit today?
I think I had like 7 or 8. Yeah, something like that.
Sounds like a good day. Did you get some good shots you're happy with?
I think so, yeah. The thing is, it goes so fast, and it's only when I start editing that I'm like, oh. Or sometimes like, oh, shit, I missed this one, or I didn't, it's unsharp, or no. But usually it's in the editing that I know.
I'll look forward to checking them out. We'll be able to see them on Escape Collective early next week. Thanks for your time.
Enjoy.
And this is really cool, Matt. We've got the whole SD Works Pro Time team up there on the stage with Lotta Capecchi. It looks like the staff are even going up now. I don't think I've seen this before. I can't remember if I saw this last year with EF Education.
Yeah, that's a really lovely moment. Of course, we talk about how much of a team sport this is. And, you know, it's Capecchi that's getting the accolades tonight, and it's her name that's on the winner's list. But there's so many people behind this win, not just the 10 or so people that are up there on stage at the moment. You know, riders, staff, DSs, soigneurs, media people. There's probably, you know, another 10, another dozen, another 20 people behind the scenes as well that have helped make this, you know. And then you'd look at each rider's, you know, their personal preparation. So family members and coaches and, you know, there's a lot goes into a bike race. It's not just the winner standing up there. It's not just the 6 riders on the start list.
Voss, yeah.
So you were saying, yeah, she was probably the big loser on the day. She would have ended up 4th then today?
She did, but like I said, in our excitement, I didn't realise that. I thought she'd actually got 3rd because all I was focusing on was Capecchi and then Balsamo, actually. But it was the fact that she rode straight out of the velodrome. She didn't even stop at the Swanee. And then I thought to myself, hold on, she has podium. But no, she didn't have podium. And she's just gone straight to the bus. Massive disappointment for her.
Yeah, she would have been a great winner, that's for sure. I saw her at the start today and she looked very, very focused in a way that I maybe haven't seen before from her. And this race would have meant a hell of a lot to her, but I think she'll get another shot. I assume she's not going to retire at the end of this season, but...
Will Voss ever retire? Hopefully never. But yeah, like you said as well, as we were commentating before they came into the velodrome, this is the one race that Voss hasn't won. Could this be the race that eludes her in her palmares?
Yeah, she definitely would have liked to win it, that's for sure. I think it's worth talking about how well she rode today, though, because, you know, we've talked about this so many times, how good she is at positioning, how good she is at measuring those efforts and just finding herself in the right place. And the same again today. She was at the front when she needed to be, but she also measured her efforts so she wasn't expending more energy than she needed to be, and she was always just there. And
I mean, when Capecchi went at that one moment, I thought, okay, maybe this is going to be it. Voss was right there on the wheel. She raced the perfect race that you could race at Roubaix. It's just, you come into the velodrome, and like we said, who knows how the outcome of the sprint is, well, what the outcome of the sprint is going to be. And I think saying to you, I couldn't look past Voss, and I was doubting whether Capecchi could do it today based on other races. But actually, I've got Gracie's head words in the back of my head now telling me that, you know, this really isn't like any other type of sprint.
All right, we're chatting now with Kate from Zwift. Kate, you've just been up on the podium. What was that like?
Oh, wow. The emotions were running wild. It was beautiful. I mean, to see those three up there, that was, it was really special. It was really special. To have a target on your back and to still pull it off just says a lot about the kind of athlete she is. I'm a huge Balsamo fan too, so to see her up there was just beautiful. Yeah, I'm so proud of those three, and what a race. Like, you couldn't have asked for a better finish. That was fantastic. Fantastic.
No, I mean, in the four editions that have been, every year it's been a completely different race finish.
Yeah.
And we were just talking that we feel like the loser today was Voss. I didn't realize that she missed the podium until about 10 minutes ago.
Same. Honestly, I was kind of like looking for her. That was kind of wild. It's good though, because I mean, this is just showing what the future of the sport is, you know, that anything can happen. And we're really seeing some stars break through, get on the podium. Love to see that. And yeah, it just makes me so excited for each race. You just don't know what's going to happen. The depth is really incredible right now.
What about the significance of today for Zwift and for Zwift's involvement in this race? What's that been like from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, this is as big as it gets for a one-day race. It's absolutely iconic. And to show what the women can do here, to show the entertainment they could bring here that they probably could have brought here for a mm-hmm. long time, but to have it, honestly, sometimes even outshining the men right now, and it's incredible, and it's great for us. We believe in it. We've believed in it for a long time, and to see so many fans out, to see so many young kids out watching, it just feels like we're building a bright future. It's really incredible.
Awesome. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your evening.
So Matt and I, the velodrome's starting to clear out now. The stands are emptying. Capecchi's doing her final interviews. And just as that was happening, we had the last two riders come in from one of the smaller teams, one of the invites to the race, outside of the time cup, but two teammates that have just rolled into the velodrome. And we're just standing here, still in the mix zone. And one of the riders is on the ground. She's in tears. Her teammates are around her. And we're seeing a different, I don't know, side to the race. We know it's hard, but in terms of how tough this race is, we always focus on, you know, the people at the front of the race and whether they can sprint or not. But this is the other side of the coin.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to see whether she's in physical distress or emotional distress or maybe a combination of both, I'd say. But yeah, she looks pretty distraught, and yeah, just the toll that this race takes, hey, and yeah, missing out on the time cut like that would be pretty devastating, I think, after slogging away for so long. Let's see if we can rope in Iris Slappendel here, who's busy chatting. We've got Iris Slappendel here. Iris has been on the back of the Eurosport and Moto for the day. Iris, how was your day?
Yeah, fun. Like, fun as always. It's my favorite day of the year, I think.
How is it different on the bike today compared to any other race? Obvious question maybe, but what's it like out there on the bike?
You mean any other Paris-Roubaix or any other race?
Any other race that you don't have huge cobble sectors.
Well, crazy. Yeah, it's just way more crazy. And I think especially, I mean, the first edition was really crazy, but I thought today was pretty crazy as well, especially in the caravan, because it was shattered in so many groups right from basically when they hit the first sector. So, you know, we were a lot of times jumping from group to group, and you see groups coming together and splitting up again, and it was so many riders just on their own, trying to get back between team cars not being there. So it was just really, really hectic, and there was really the same feeling I had in the very first edition, and not so much last year, actually. That was kind of the feeling of today.
You talked on the coverage about Chiara Concerni, and she had a bit of a heartbreaking day there.
Yeah, I mean, that's also what, like, on a moto, I choose to be behind the peloton and then go from group to group to the front. And today you see there are actually a few riders that had a lot of bad luck, like Grace Brown, Chiara Concerni, Audrey Cardon, and especially Concerni. I think she had like 3 or 4 times a mechanical, and she kept fighting back all the time on her own. And then she made it back to that second group that I, at some point, almost looked like they were going to make it back to the first group. And right at that point, she fled again. And, you know, I just saw her tear up, and I was like, oh my God, Chiara, that's so sad.
What was the wind like out there, and what impact did that have on the race, do you think?
Yeah, it was also crazy, the wind. Like, especially when we head into that first cobble sector, that part before, I don't know if that was already live, but I think we were going 70 k's an hour, and it was just like, it just blew up the whole peloton. And I mean, it had a big impact on the race. Like I think I said in the coverage today, the wind is your biggest enemy, because, you know, as soon as you see riders dropping, not being able to keep up with the pace, they're gone. Like, they're just like, it's like the wind is blowing in the opposite direction suddenly. So, I mean, the speed was so high, and there were so many crosswinds. And I think the condition on the cobbles was today really tricky, because in the middle it was, on the crown, it was like dry and like sandy, dusty. But on the sides it was really muddy at some point. And you also saw that because of the crosswinds, riders, of course, tried to get some shelter. So you have the feeling as a rider, like, oh, I want to just jump in that gutter to have that wind shelter and have a little bit of more of an easy ride. But I think that was impossible today.
And what about the result today? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's of course a shame Vos didn't take the win. That's just my complete objective opinion.
Yeah.
But it would have been amazing. But I think it's a great podium, and impressive sprint by Kopecky. So she did a great race, and it's also really nice to see the world champion taking the win here. And I mean, especially impressive from Fiva Georgi taking the podium. That's a really great result.
No, I was just going to say that was actually the favorite podium result for me, other than Kopecky, of course, Belgian world champion. Going to get that signature because she had a great spring, and just, you know, to get that podium finally.
What's next for you, Iris?
Yes, like other work. Back to work, I would say, and shower. And then I go home. Yeah, and the Tour de France Famavec Zwift, of course. I'm back on the motor. It starts in my hometown.
In Rotterdam.
Hometown Rotterdam. So, we're very much looking forward to that.
We'll hope to see you there. Thanks so much for stopping by and having a chat.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Iris.
All right. So we're just looking at an ambulance that's pulled up to look after that last rider that was unfortunately lying on the ground there. Hope she's doing okay.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Matt, a bit of maybe a medical and emotional sort of injury right now, but for the ambulance to be here must have been a really tough day out. Maybe she was one of those unfortunate riders who came down at one point, but just, you know, continued to carry on because it's Paris-Roubaix. But it's a strange thing now, because everyone's filtering out. We've got Fifa Georgi there having a chat to a few fans, maybe some family members perhaps. Lotta Kopecky is still tied up in interviews.
Yeah, you've got a signature to get, haven't you?
I have. I'm going to stick around until I get that world championship signature. Anyone who listens to Wheel Talk regularly knows I've been saying it, I think, since last season, when she became world champion, that this had to happen, you know.
And what are you holding, just for those that aren't familiar?
It is a little world championship jersey, so the rainbow stripes, but in the size of my son, which is like a 92. He's 2 going on 3. That's for Harry, and one day maybe Louis as well, my other one, because they're both Belgian born, and we love Lotta Kopecky. She is world champion, and it would be rude not for her to sign it.
That's true. Well, hopefully you get her. It looks like she's almost done with the media scrum there. We might wrap it up here from the Roubaix Velodrome. Incredible win from Lotta Kopecky. A wonderful podium, as we've talked about. A really good result. And just, yeah, a joy to be here. A privilege to witness it in person. I hope it's been fun listening to our on-the-ground reporting.
Even if it was a little bit messy, I think there was just so much adrenaline and emotion running through me, particularly in those final kilometres. And like Iris said, a shame not to see Vos finally get the win. But hey, she's not retiring anytime soon, we hope.
A big thank you to all of our Escape members for supporting the work that we do. We've been on a great Escape members summit this last week, doing some great riding in Flanders and down here on the Roubaix Cobbles, and it's been a joy to meet our Escape members. So thank you to everyone that came along on that trip and to all of our members that support what we do and make it possible for us to be here and do everything that we do.
We love you. Thank you. Thank you for the support and the love on Discord.
Thanks for listening, and we'll be back really soon.